This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today. Well, we're going to look at 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic in Douglas County. A lot of things to talk about. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, County Commissioner Tim Freeman, and I think the first time all three of us have been in one small room in a very long time.
About a year and a half.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having us.
So, first of all, Dr. Bob, talk about the early days, even before the word was really starting to get out about what was happening in China and some of your initial concerns.
So in the very beginning of January, we began to have ideas that there were this outbreak of disease in China. And by the end of the month of January, we knew that this was likely to become a problem. And the first time we talked about this, actually, was on a Monday morning in January. And then it came to pass that this really was a very transmissible and deadly virus.
And I remember not knowing much about the 1918 pandemic. I'm sure I had it in history class at some point, but that was probably a long time ago. And I remember when you left and we got into our news segment, and honestly, I thought, that was kind of odd. You know, I was like, it wasn't that I disbelieved you. It was just like, this is like, this seems totally different than anything I've ever heard of before. Tim, what was it like for you when you first heard about all this?
Well, when we first started hearing about it, there was a fair amount of concern, but we had H1N1 happen here in Oregon, and I was in the legislature when that happened, and it was not dissimilar at the beginning. There was lots of concerns, lots of planning and lots of preparedness occurring, and then it actually was. I mean, it was a full-blown pandemic, but nothing compared to what this was. And I think very few people predicted the magnitude of what this particular pandemic would be. But at the very beginning, we just started, putting together plans and resources and making sure that we were paying attention to what was going on.
As we were beginning to see things happen nationally and looking around the state and sort of wondering when the shoe was going to drop, there was a Sunday morning, I don't remember if it was February or March.
Early March,
and Douglas County got its first case. Talk about that.
Right, so we had our first case. Our first cases came mostly from people who traveled overseas, especially people who had taken cruises. There was one cruise ship specifically in Australia and New Zealand that was a hotbed for the early disease.
And what was the county's response that Sunday?
Well, we certainly by then had quite a few conversations with Dr. Dannenhofer, our public health officer, and DPHN, our nonprofit that provided public health. And really the goal of Douglas County was to make sure that we were engaged in providing resources and making sure that our public health folks had whatever they needed. And at the beginning, of course, we didn't know what whatever meant, but our message to them from the Board of Commissioners was, we're going to support the work you're doing. Let us know what you need.
For both of you, I'm curious, really, hasn't been a playbook that was ready to go for this, was there?
So there was not a specific playbook for this, but we were very prepared. We anticipated a pandemic of some kind, and we've been doing drive-through flu clinics for 4 years before this started. And we had a bunch of people who were very much involved in emergency planning. So although we didn't have a specific playbook, we knew all the notes.
What about the county?
Well, from the county's perspective, certainly, I think relying on public health for this was important, and they had done some preparation. But on the broader emergency management point of view, we were not as prepared as we should have been. So we certainly had to develop some things. We'd learned in previous emergencies, whether that was the UCC event, whether it was Snowmageddon, these forest fires, that we knew not to wait for the state and federal government to come save us. We knew whatever work we needed to do at the county level, supporting DPHN and public health, we needed to be deliberate about that and do it without hesitation. So, and we did. So we simply said yes to the request when somebody would call, whether that was Teresa at DPHN or Dr. Dannenhofer or others. We figured out a way to make it happen. And again, it would be easy to say, well, that's the state's problem or the state's taking care of it or the federal government. But we have learned, tragically we've learned, if you wait for the state and federal government, you've missed the opportunity to help people. And from the Board of Commissioners standpoint, we're not going to wait. We're going to help when it's time to help.
Dr. Bob, for the hospital, for the health side of this, talk about the kind of the early days and what that was like.
Well, in the early days of this pandemic, we were concerned because other hospital systems back east had been overwhelmed. So if you look at what happened in New York City, in fact, the hospital I grew up in, I was born in, St. Aloe, Wyckoff Heights Hospital in Brooklyn, was totally overwhelmed with people in the on sidewalks, morgue trucks in the streets. And so it really was a horrific vision of what could happen here in Douglas County. And so we were worried about that, so we spent the weeks that we had preparing the hospital so that they had enough staff and that they had enough equipment.
And I remember doing a walkthrough early on when Mercy was preparing, you know, and kind of reallocating space and moving things around, and just how ominous that seemed.
It really did seem ominous, because if you looked at what happened in Italy, what happened in England, what happened in New York, it really could have been quite ominous here.
What about from the business side of things? Once case numbers went up and once the state came up with some ideas, and what was that like with the business shutdowns, that kind of thing?
Well, from the county's perspective, we knew that those things were going to cause tremendous harm to the economy, and sort of just people in general were going to be affected in very negative ways. And we worked very diligently to ask the state to allow us to make more of the decisions around what would happen. If you remember when those first lockdowns were occurring, we had very low case counts here in Douglas County. For the very long time, we had low case counts. And we seemed like we were caught in this one-size-fits-all response when, you know, we had great teams in place, great decision makers, you know, great intelligence and information coming from the public health folks to make those decisions more accurately, how it would be more effective here. So we were very frustrated with the communication with the state early on. And to be fair, they were overwhelmed and they were trying to do their best. But there was lots of times when we felt like they could communicate more directly and allow us to make more decisions. And eventually we got there. It just took a while.
Dr. Bob, for Douglas Public Health, how quickly did the staff increase, and where did you find these people?
So we went from 6 to about 40 over the space of about 3 months. Some of the people we found from partner organizations. So, for example, Aviva lent us some staff. The Douglas ESD, who had some nurses, lent us some staff. And then we hired some really good people in town whose talents were being underutilized.
Well, I want to add to that. The important part and the way that really worked was DPHN was able to grow that staff and get those resources in place because the county would pay for it. And that the lending of staff, along with that, went the understanding that while they were working for public health, that the cost of that staff would be paid for by the county. And that's the great thing about our public health system here in Douglas County, is that we do that work through a nonprofit, but that nonprofit is financially supported by the county and the state, but the state through the county to the nonprofit. So as long as they had a vision and a plan in place, we were able to fund that. And I think that model of a community-based public health system works incredibly well here in Douglas County.
For you, Tim, how long did you think the pandemic was going to last as we get into it?
Well, at the very beginning, some of the biggest concerns were around panic. If you remember, at the very beginning, before our case numbers, before we were even seeing cases, people were going and buying all the toilet paper, and they were, you know, going to the grocery store and buying out the grocery stores. There was a worry that the banks would have a run on them. So with any emergency, you sort of get the list of priorities. And early on, panic was one of those high priorities to, you know, to try to alleviate people's concerns. I don't think anybody predicted that we'd be sitting here 2 years after this started, still having cases. I mean, this isn't over yet. There's still people getting sick. We're still seeing people in the hospital, and tragically, we're still seeing people die. I don't think anybody predicted 2 years later that would be occurring.
Dr. Bob, what about you? How long did you think it would last?
I had no idea, and I think anybody who tries to make predictions about how long pandemics will last is going to be wrong.
And you've said many times over our many interviews the last 2 years about trying to forecast the future isn't always work out so well.
Right. So forecasts are hard, especially about the future, and especially with this, which is so unknown. So this virus has thousands of different genetic codes, and any one of those could cause a mutation, which could cause a deadly new variant. And so we're always worried about the new variants. Had this been just the ancestral strain, it would have been very different. But we had alpha and then beta, gamma, delta, and then the Omicron variant. So we've really had a bunch of variants. And I will caution people that there's no sense that we've seen the last variant. We could get another variant, which could be deadly and change the whole outlook.
More when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. And Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, with the Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Tomorrow in studio, Republican candidate for Governor Christine Drazen will be here. And then on Friday, we're set to go from the Ukraine-Polish border. John DePietro is over there. Talked to him yesterday. He's just minutes away from the border and has actually been welcoming people in as they stream across from Ukraine into Poland. We'll talk with John on Friday's program. County Commissioner Tim Freeman and County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer are kind of going over the last 2 years of this pandemic. And Tim, one of the things at the front end was this is such a huge situation. Seemed like you ramped up pretty quick to get a lot of different people involved.
Well, we knew early on that this was going to be a huge community response need. And so Dr. Dannenhofer, myself, we contacted all the organizations that were part of that had capacity to help us deal with this and could be part of this response. And to a person, each of those folks said, "Yeah, we want to help." Each organization, each CEO, each executive director, and you know, we adopted with public health and the Board of Commissioners a strategy very early on that was to get people trusted local accurate information in a timely manner, give them good recommendations on what they should do to best protect themselves, and then support their decisions, whatever that was. And that really required a public information team. We developed what we called a Joint Information Center, and Tamara, our public information officer at the county, was in charge of that. But public information officers from all the organizations came together and started helping with those updates. And I believe the number is 672 COVID updates that they produced and sent out. Again, coming from local sources, Dr. Dannenhofer, you know, from our local clinics that were providing vaccines, from our local hospital, from local people about what was going on here in Douglas County, and that information and those recommendations were for Douglas County. They weren't statewide, they weren't nationally, they weren't internationally. They were Douglas County information and recommendations and Douglas County resources. So I'm really proud of the work that they all did, and I can't tell you how much work that it was for that team and for Tamara, but each of those updates, the final approval was through Dr. Dannenhofer and myself. So those times when there was typos or things weren't quite worded right, don't blame the public information folks. Blame me for not catching that. We've been pretty busy.
That level of information we got used to here, but that's not super common around Oregon or other places.
I would venture to guess. I know in Oregon we sent out more information than any other county, maybe more than any other county in the nation. Again, as part of our strategy, you know, other counties took other strategies. Other counties took enforcement strategies or more restrictive strategies. We chose not to do that here. We chose to trust the people of the county to make the best decision, but we knew for them to make the best decision, they had to have the best information. And again, in any of the information we've sent out, or Dr. Dannon offers Facebook Lives, or since the YouTube stuff that he sends out, or any communication we have, we've never judged people for their decisions. We've never tried to make them, you know, feel guilty for things that they did or didn't do. We simply tried to give people the best information and get them to make the best decisions for them and their family. And then regardless of those decisions, we worked very hard to support people in whatever way they needed support.
Dr. Bob, talk about how COVID-19 has impacted people. I mean, you see the numbers, but as I talk to folks in the community and different age groups, different health conditions initially, there have been people that I know that have gotten some very serious long-term impacts, maybe even a year after contracting COVID.
So we've had about 375 deaths, and clearly each death affects the family and friends of those who've died. In addition, we've had several thousand people hospitalized, and many of those people who've been hospitalized have long-term issues that will take a long time to fix. For example, renal failure was common among those people who were hospitalized, and many of the people who were hospitalized have decreased lung function and will have decreased lung function for the rest of their lives. So we're worried about those. But then there's about a quarter of the 20,000 cases where people have long COVID. That is, that they have symptoms of COVID that last as for days, weeks, or months after the illness. For example, in the pediatric clinic, almost every day now we're seeing kids who had COVID during Omicron, and they're still not quite right. They're still having a hard time breathing, hard time sleeping. Many of them can't taste or smell. And so the deaths are clearly most impactful, but the long COVID is going to be impactful for a while.
And I was thinking when you were talking about that, one of my friends in Southern Cal who was hospitalized for 8 months and just hit the golf course last week for the first time since he has gotten out, but for a long time after even getting out, was still on oxygen.
Well, congratulations to him that he's improved. And we do think that people will slowly improve over time, but you can see what an impactful disease this was.
So, Tim, there were things like that were kind of unprecedented. That's the overused word of the pandemic, I suppose. But like the National Guard coming in to help Mercy.
Yeah, no, I think those there's a whole series of those things. But there's a lot of things that, you know, maybe people don't know either. I mean, one of our main goals of our Emergency Operations Center was to protect the healthcare system, which included the hospitals. So a lot of organizations around the county helped make sure the hospital wasn't overwhelmed. And those organizations not only sent staff there, but they helped with technical expertise, equipment, and supplies. Before the National Guard ever got here, the county had staff over there helping doing similar things. So I think there was many unprecedented things. I know we had the first, you know, testing clinics, the first drive-through testing clinics of any county. We're here in Douglas County. We had the first call center. We did testing over in Reedsport. Literally, Dr. Dannenhofer and I drove over to Reedsport for 19 Saturdays. And Dr. Dannenhofer did the swabbing over there and ran the tests for all those Saturdays, so there would be testing in that part. Our Tiger team was able to get out and provide services throughout the county. Our goal was to reach 95% of the citizens to offer them vaccines within 5 miles of where they lived. And we achieved that goal. Those are all unique things that occurred here in Douglas County that simply just didn't occur in other counties. And we're proud of that work. We're also proud of the fact that we asked people to do the right thing. We didn't enforce or expect people to comply because we demanded it. We asked people to do the right thing and gave them the information and the access and the tools to those services to try to do the right thing. And that, you know, that's a little bit unique. You know, other counties did that differently, and we're proud of that work, and we're proud of the organizations that helped and the citizens who ultimately, you know, made the decision that was right for them and their family.
Dr. Bob, we got about 30 seconds left here. Talk about just sort of moving forward. You mentioned that whole issue of maybe another variant comes along later.
So there certainly could be another variant that comes on, and we're monitoring that very carefully. But right now, there are no new nasty variants on the horizon. That's a good thing, but we'll be watching very carefully for anyone that may develop.
All right. Well, we continue on. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer and County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in this afternoon. We could talk a lot more, but now we're already out of time.
Thank you for having us.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.